from KQED.
Both of you mentioned affordability, so let's talk about housing. Yep. I think everybody agrees there is a housing crisis in California, just not enough supply to meet demand, and what's out there is either unaffordable to buy or in many cases to rent. And California is also almost dead last in housing construction per capita. I think Utah is 50, we're 49, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But I'm wondering, do you think, and I'll start with you, Mr. Cox, do you think that there is too much local control when it comes to housing that enables, whether it's local governments or interest groups, to kill housing or slow it down so that it ends up costing too much money?
First of all, I'm in the housing business. I started 30 years ago, and I build apartments for a living. I can build apartments in other states that I operate in for a fourth or a fifth of what they cost to build in California. And the reason is red tape, taxes, lawsuits, approval processes that take forever.
To be clear, though, you've been building in other states, right? Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois.
And it's government that has driven up the cost of housing in California. Now, we have to exercise leadership from Sacramento, and I will certainly do that because we do need to build a lot of housing, but we need to build that housing in a cost-effective way with lower cost. Now, I certainly want local authorities to be involved in the process, and they have to be involved in the process. I've sat on local zoning boards in the past. And
do they have too much power now, do you think?
No, I don't think they do, no. I think they should have power, but I think there's also can be leadership that's exercised from the top. One of the things that I would do is reform CEQA, which has been turned into an effort by trial lawyers to sue competitors and stop development, and that's limiting the supply of housing.
That's the California Environmental Quality Act.
Absolutely.
Signed by Ronald Reagan, actually, I think, in 1970. Mr. Newsom, what about you? Housing.
Yeah, no, look, you're right. We're 49th out of 50th in per capita housing units, and you're correct. Utah's the only state producing less housing. And the fact is we're producing about 100,000 plus or minus housing units on an annual basis in order to create some price equilibrium in this state. From a production perspective, we've got to be developing close to four times that number. So you're right. It is a issue of production, but it's also an issue of intentionality or lack thereof. There are no statewide housing goals in California. There are no timelines, no objectives, no strategies to organize at the local level the kind of determination to address this legitimate affordability crisis. As it relates to your question about localism, yes, localism is determinative, but there's a certain point where the NIMBYism, there's a certain point where the lack of focus in terms of producing the requisite housing that's required in this state, there's a certain point where the state of California needs to intervene.
How?
Incentivize good behavior or disincentivize bad behavior. One of the specific plans of the 15 specific plans we have to address this housing crisis comes to the issue of allocation of tax revenue. Mayors have a perverse disincentive for housing. Mayors actually have an incentive for big box retail. Mayors collect, cities collect retail sales tax. They don't collect property tax. We would like to have that debate about reallocating that tax base.
You're talking about reforming Prop 13?
We're talking about a tax conversation around this housing conversation.
Is Prop 13 on the table?
That everything's on the table as it relates to this issue. This is the issue that defines the affordability crisis. Number two, I think you also have to be a bit punitive as it relates to local government. And I think one of the proposals that to me is most interesting and intriguing actually comes from this region. The MTC, our Metropolitan Transit Commission, is talking about utilizing their ability to take discretionary transit dollars and allocate those transit dollars to municipalities that are meeting their housing production goals and taking those dollars away from those that are not. That's just two specific examples of how we can address this
issue. Mr. Cox, go ahead. Yeah, you mentioned CEQA, so if you want to talk about that.
But I didn't hear in any of that, by the way, and Gavin's been in office for 16 years here in California, and he's not, you know, done much about this problem as it's gotten worse and worse and worse. We've got to bring down the cost of housing, and it's not enough just to apply incentives and disincentives. What we also have to do is make sure that we shorten the approval frame. We got to make sure that we
how do you do
reduce
that?
Well, I think we work with local authorities, frankly, to basically modify a lot of these state laws that are making the process longer and longer and longer. It takes 12, 15 years. I can build in Indiana and I can get approvals within 6 months. Other states that have Democratic governors can build housing a lot faster, a lot less costly than California. I fail to believe that we can't build housing that's more cost effective and available for people.
Well, and Scott, just because it's an important point on CEQA, in the past, John has argued for eliminating CEQA. not reforming it. He called for its elimination.
I said to eliminate it and replace it with something that's more workable.
Yeah, and so I believe in more categorical exemptions for socially desirable projects, for excuse the wonkiness around this, more programmatic environmental impact reports to address the issue of pre-development risk. I do believe the issue of time value of money, in essence, what John is getting at, is an important part of the solution as well. Again, that's why there's no one single strategy that's going to address this issue. That's why we've laid out 15. I hope you can compare and contrast, the listeners, compare and contrast our proposals, our specific, tangible plans, because there is a profound contrast in the two approaches.
No, I have a lot of specific plans. And, of course, those plans don't mean anything unless you're willing to go up against the special interest. And you know,
what does
those,
that mean?
These are interest groups that benefit
Which
from...
ones?
Environmental groups that fund the legislature as well as fund Gavin's campaign. We've got to take that money out of that, out of that game, and we've got to make sure that we change the status quo. I'm someone who is going to work to change that status quo, and all these plans don't mean a thing if we can't change a lot of these laws that are adding to the cost, that are driving housing prices and apartment prices through the roof. There is no good reason why I'm able to build other places for a lot less cost than in California.
One way to take the money out of this whole thing would be public financing of
campaigns. No, that doesn't do it, because then you have independent expenditures that are financed by these groups. You know,
so how do you do it?
We'll talk about that after I'm elected governor. I've got a lot of reform ideas, and there's other reform ideas out there. But the fact of the matter is the status quo isn't working. We need change. We need to build affordable housing for people and the rents. When I travel around the state, I talked at the Sriracha plant. I talked to Felipe Martinez, who's renting a one-bedroom apartment for himself and four children, paying $1,500 a month. People keep moving farther and farther away from their jobs because they can't afford a house. And then they get hit with this gas tax, which I hope we're going to
talk about.
Yeah. But Scott, what you heard again, no specific strategies. Let me give you a specific strategy to address the example that John just advanced. We have a desire to take our $85 million affordable housing tax credit, increase it over the next few years to $500 million to leverage more financing for affordable housing. We have strategies to address workforce housing. Those were where the jobs go to sleep, the quote-unquote missing middle for middle-class families. We have specific strategies to address the issue of tax increment. We lost redevelopment years ago, and we never came up with successor agencies. We have specific goals on enhanced infrastructure financing districts in this state, taking advantage of these opportunity zones. Again, what you heard from John is an illusory strategy where he criticizes and identifies problems, but with all due respect, doesn't have the details and the strategies to actually solve
what you heard, what you heard from Gavin is more government, more plans to pay out money from government. Government tax credits, plans for government financing. But if you don't really attack the cost of building, the delays in building, the litigation, the lawsuits, the impact fees that are put on housing in the state, if you don't do that, what you're going to do is institutionalize these high rents. I don't want rents costing $3,000 for a two-bedroom apartment and then have government come along and subsidize people for a short time. That's going to put us even more in debt, and it's not addressing the problem. And I have specific plans on dealing with that.
All right, let's move to a new topic.